Morning, everyone. Today is Thursday, November 8, 2018. It's 9 a.m. County Administration Workshop in the BCC Conference Room. Present are Commissioner Morgan, Commissioner DeYoung. And item number one is legal counsel, and I don't see our legal counselor here right now. She'd be on the way.
This is fairly routine and administrative, so the sale took place, obviously.
Do you want to do it?
Sure, I'm happy to.
Okay.
On the 24th, we've got in the packet the list of the properties that sold, and it's just important for the board to be aware and move forward to the weekly business session for approval.
Okay.
So we can get those processed officially. Five of the six, I think, if memory serves me, were done with the land sale contract, which I think is an encouraging example of what's working with how we've changed up our sale process. Unfortunately, we weren't able to get an executive session to review of that sale process totally done, but I'm going to probably do a debrief, and then we'll go from there.
Okay.
So we'll provide some recommendations to the board for approval of steps to make it happen next time.
There's a lien right there.
With nothing else, I would just move to put this probably on the consent calendar, as it's not an administrative element. We're
okay.
Not changing anything.
Move to consent.
And it's fairly routine.
One more time, please.
Just
thank you.
And that'll be the 20th?
ASAP.
That's
the
first
of the 20th?
WPS we have is the 20th.
Yes.
Because of AOC next week.
Right.
Great.
Okay. There you go. Give you something. I have a mouse. Don't be afraid of the mouse. Okay. Okay. Item two, department business.
Thanks,
thank
Lane.
You, Helene.
Thanks. Sorry.
Community development, Julie Smelter. Item number one is RLDC proposed text amendments, resource zone updates.
Okay. So last year, and then again,
good morning. How
are you? Just a little frazzled.
Oh.
We're busy. It's just
pretty.
Yeah. Anyway, so, so last year and then again this year, we had grants from the state to update our resource zones, which would be our exclusive farm zones and then our woodlot resource force zones. And they gave us some drafts quite a while ago, and they finalized them. So what I would like to do is actually schedule them for public hearing for the Plan Commission so we can begin that process of amending the code. So if we would schedule it now, we're not looking at a hearing until 2019 based on schedules.
There's an ability for the board, because really we're taking the product that DLCD gave to the county, mm-hmm. and the board is referring it as a proposed text amendment. DLCD doesn't do that. We're doing it, basically,
right.
Is what you're asking us to do today. Is there a need and ability to refine the proposal at all to kind of reflect? I wonder if what, forgive me, if I haven't read, it's like 55 pages or something like that. I haven't read the entire thing. But what I'm thinking is that they probably gave us what they would deem as the best and highest use for those resource zones consistent with state law.
Right.
And there might be a need if every county or region just went with DLCD state laws, there wouldn't really be a need for our rural, not a rural planning commission, but a local code.
Mm-hmm.
So is there a need for us to refine what they have given us and say, well, I hear what you're saying, but that qualifying for a forest zone isn't 50 cubic feet per acre in Josephine County. It's more like 80 feet per acre, which is what Douglas County would contend. Are you guys following?
So what they did is they brought...
Sorry, it went on to something else, and so it was like...
So they brought it up to state code. They showed us all the amendments for that. And then anywhere that there would be where we would have
discretion,
they would say, Julie, what do you want to do on this?
Okay.
So, for example, the model that they follow in mass gatherings in rural areas is very limited. Like, they would normally not allow 3,000 people for a mass gathering, and I said, no, in our county we do. that's where most of our rural mass gatherings are. And so, you know, so where I did have discretion, I pushed for the most leeway, I guess.
What I would suggest, I think, just using that example, the cubic feet per acre, I can think of probably a dozen other opportunities for leeway discretion.
Mm-hmm.
Can you and I work on presenting this to the board in a general discussion about
sure.
where those dozen things are, so you don't have to read all 55 pages, but here's the highlights. Here's the places where, you know, the rest of it is consistent with state code, but here's where you can kind of refine it, and then we refine it here, send it to the RLD, send it to the RPC. As a product, we're happy with to start with. I would rather them not look at something that needs work in our mind.
Sure.
And then, you know, if they're going into it with the idea that we like it, what do you think?
Okay.
It's better than I think. I don't know.
I think it kind of narrows down. It brings it into what we want, I guess.
Yeah.
And how, how it's adapted to us. State,
yeah.
Like I, in my mind, state, when you say, well, yeah, we're going to follow state, all the state codes and state laws and everything are made in an urban setting. By urbanites. And that
there's a lens that I think they look through resource land with.
Yeah.
And in what you just said resonates in the mass gathering element. They would say you don't need to have mass gatherings in rural areas on farms and woodlot resource.
Because they don't have farms and woodlot resource.
Just go have it at you know, an event center or blah blah blah.
Yeah, right.
But we don't have an event center. And so yeah, we're not gonna go Eugene or Medford or something. People want to get together for a music fest, the Bluegrass Festival, or whatever, and their community.
Well,
so how do we facilitate that in the right way?
Willamette Valley can do their country thing out in the farms, but we can't? I mean,
do you know that Willamette has actually special rules just for them from the RLDC?
I would imagine.
Or I mean from the DLCD, yeah.
Well, that would be probably pretty standard with any kind of an event that goes over. I mean, it's a 3,000 is the minimum, but there's probably a maximum to say, hey, when you go over 10,000 people, then you're talking with us.
Well, they have special rules, I mean, just for their area.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we have to follow what Jackson and Douglas. Willamette has just their own rules, land use rules.
Wow.
In some areas. So,
okay.
But, okay, so,
Does that make sense?
And I'm fine with that, because what I have done is I've aired... Not aired, but I have made for provision for as much tourism, agritourism, and pushed like as far as I could. So
it
might be
too far.
And I
think you're on the same page with the board in a lot of respects, but I think we just want to make sure.
Okay.
And sometimes I'm just thinking about, you know, being that I'm only here for another whatever days. It's important for our philosophy when we're setting the RLDC to not just reflect our philosophy, but kind of reflect what we see as the community's read on this. And so that's important that, you know, maybe we're okay with a 3,000 or the provisions in your mass gathering deal, but are they? And that's what we need to think about.
Yeah.
So anyway.
So are you here next week or are you going to?
We are all actually at
you're
the...
You're going, okay. Then I'll just plan a meeting with you the week after and refining it and bringing it back in December.
Are you up there?
I just want to make sure that one of the most famous mass gatherings in all of time was Woodstock. And
it happened on a farm.
You couldn't pull Woodstock off today.
No.
You'd never.
Not
there
like
will,
that.
There will be no Woodstock from now on out, legally. And that's a shame.
Okay, so I will bring that back in December. Commissioner Heron, I'll discuss that in detail and then bring that in back
perfect.
In December.
But you can schedule the RLDC.
Okay, that I'd like to go ahead.
Planning Commission now.
Okay, that's good. So we'll schedule that.
Provided that the board was interested in moving forward.
Yes, I think so.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with wanting to see where we're not in step with the state, what's outlying.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have, I think, a different drumbeat down here than they, and so if we don't say it, they don't look at it. So let's take a look at it.
Okay, and then the other thing we had was economic development request from Charetti. They are doing a regional plan. I've sent you the basically the proposal from the consultant that they want to go with, along with the bid of what everybody else, or I'm sorry, the inventory of what everybody else would be paying. Our share would be $25,000 for the regional plan. So they did put in an economic development request for that. I do support it. We do have, you know, we are required to have something called a CEDS, Community Economic Development Strategy, which they do have. We are required to do it. It really doesn't get into the depth that we want to, you know, that's kind of an inventory of what your main industries are and things of that nature. Whereas this is actually one where the consultants actually come in, they work with all of us. It's a lengthy process to actually develop exactly what we're going to do, such things as looking not just from the traditional business standpoint, but like forestry and housing and some of those other things that impact that big picture of economic development. We have met as a board member, you know, we did interview the consultant. I felt very pleased with them. It just so happened that I know some of their former clients, so I actually called their former client, and they are thrilled with them. So I do think it's probably the best that we're going to get. But it is $25,000 from our county. It's $36,500 from Jackson.
How'd they come up with the numbers?
Population.
Well, and I mean, because
they're over twice our size. So
it's usually a 70%, 30%.
I bet it's probably the unincorporated areas of Jackson County, which we're much closer to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they, you know, each city has to pay based on their population or a certain amount, and then whatever's left over. Of course, ours is always slightly lower than Jackson. But that's where that number is coming from.
I guess the reason why I'm curious is because each of the cities has like a specific dollar amount, down to a one, down to a six, and ours is $25,000. We're the and Jackson's $36,500. So how come the cities are all down to a penny and we're a rounded number? It doesn't seem like it's actually based on a population at that level.
You need to be in sales because that you never have round numbers when you give somebody a bid, never.
Yeah. Well, the total bid is.
But I think yesterday, just going to yesterday's testimony, we're one of the poorest counties in the land, but we're the richest county in the land because of marijuana. If we listen to yesterday's testimony.
I'd like to see this scope. And so forgive me if I'm a little gun shy in appropriating dollars to a consultant that I hear is really good for an economic development study that everybody else in the state is pleased with. I've heard this before.
Sure.
I was less than stellarly impressed, in fact, threatened, thought about litigation, that was so far off the mark. So the scope has got to be really key, and I really don't need them studying the timber industry. It's the most studied element in our economy in the state of Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
It is, and I don't really care what this study says as far as all I see when I was out at the ranch this last week. It's trucks of logs going to South Coast and Glendale, and that's revenue. There's a guy in that truck, there's loggers, there's choker setters, there's the guys servicing. I don't think they try very hard to really capture the economic element of the timber industry. And when I think about it, I can't think of the marijuana industry who built the libraries in this county. And a lot of those in Jackson County, the Y, the most of the fairgrounds. So there's a revenue there, stream that is tangible.
But where it won't show up on paper is we don't have any mills. We don't have any processing plants in Josephine County. So if you're seeing log trucks and you're seeing drivers and you're seeing tires and this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah.
But they're based out of Ireland, out of Myrtle Creek.
So
that's Douglas County. So, you know, all of those job creation from the timber industry.
That doesn't mean we don't do it.
Is there. It's not
here.
Yeah,
that doesn't
the
mean
weed
we don't
bit
do it.
Is already is looking at a regional approach,
yeah.
Which would include us in anything that happens.
So ready is limited to traded sector. And I don't think they view the timber as a traded sector. But if we had cut timber and we were, not sending everything to other mills, it would be going out to other businesses. Kind of like you make it here and you send it out. that's what we did with timber.
I think it's regarded as a trader sector.
It's definitely a traded sector. When I look at the cabinet makers, the plywood factories, that's all traded sector.
But do they look at the loggers and that side of it as that as well?
Well, and that's why you look at a regional strategy, because those loggers are affecting those traded sector jobs. So
I'm a little gun-shy because I read the proposal from Eco Northwest, mm-hmm. and what they regarded the timber industry and forestry as a very minute sector.
Tape.
I don't care what anybody of those what those people say, because what's terrible is that I can extrapolate their perspective on that, and it going and tainting potentially others that I'm not as well versed in, mm-hmm. but I'm really well versed in here, and their report didn't say what I know.
It's almost like they're playing down the timber industry.
Yeah.
They're playing down the timber industry, hoping it'll continue.
So what negative objective do they have against the marijuana industry or for it? That they'd say, oh, this is the next best thing, or the worst, you know, this is what it's doing to your economy locally. I'm like, so I just want to look at the scope. Okay. That's my mind on that.
My only concern is the kickoff dates already, that they're starting on this. So I don't want, I mean, if we wait till the end of the month, is
what does it matter? We're either in or we're out. We're not going to change the scope.
Exactly.
Well, and you do have the scope in front of you.
Okay.
So just so you're aware of that. That was sent out to you.
What I see Soretti doing right now, I would actually support moving forward. I don't like the dollar amount. It's about as much as we pay annually to be a part of Soretti. So that's the part that had me step back and go, okay, is this, of our economic development money, is this the best expense that
a really good way to evaluate whether or not it's proportional is what is Jackson County's contribution to Soretti on an annual dues?
I don't know offhand.
If we could, that would be, proportional. If it's the same, then we're right there.
And we do have a meeting this afternoon that could be brought back to us and maybe give us today to look at this, and maybe we can revisit it this afternoon, because it's the next meeting we have before being gone for a week.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as what I see Soretti focusing on, one of the things they had recently was a dinner where they invited all the mayors of every jurisdiction and the county commissioners. And they are looking at not just focusing each individual community, but looking at the region as a whole. And if they have something in an event in Ashland, they're pointing to signs in Grants Pass or in Grants Pass and vice versa. So really taking a regional approach to economic development in a bigger way. And I think it is something that will benefit us all instead of the competition between us and White City. The focus on how are we, okay, we maybe couldn't do that, but we can do this one, and referring to each other and actually working as a region successfully versus Portland versus us, that kind of stuff. So
I agree. As a matter of fact, tonight we have one of our pitch contests where people come and they talk to us about new ideas and everything. I don't think people realize it. So that's in Grants Pass tonight. That's actually funded by Ashland. They do a quarter. Ashland pays for it to be in Grants Pass quarterly. So, we really do try to take a regional approach. And what happens in Jackson, our people are working in Jackson County, so you really can't look at it individually.
I think going into it, because Commissioner Morgan and I have been through the city side of it, I've always been skeptical of Soretti. I've never been a big fan of Soretti, but I did. Colleen and I had a meeting because I didn't go to the dinner thing, and she brought me up to speed on it. I was pretty excited about it. I says, finally, it's about time we're starting to look at regional things rather than just little old Grants Pass is looking out for little old Grants Pass, and Soretti's not doing anything for that. Little old Grants Pass has got it has a place on the page, for what we excel in. I'm not a big fan of saying that Monroe shock absorbers should put up a big factory out here and put everybody to work in Grants Pass and Josephine County. That's not what I'm looking for. That's just my own personal. But I think on a comprehensive side of it, I think this is probably the best plan they've ever come up with. And I'm in favor of it. And I don't like, as Commissioner Morgan says, 25,000 seems a little lopsided compared to Jackson County, but you may have answered that with the unincorporated element.
Yeah, if the cities are taken out of the population, if we added the cities with what Jackson County was.
Right.
Yeah.
And don't forget, too, we're one of those counties that, so they don't charge Cave Junction anything, so the county picks up a Cave Junction portion, too. So aside from Josephine County, the only one of our municipalities would be Grants Pass paying. And Whereas in Jackson, you have the county paying that $36,000 plus all of their studies.
Yeah.
We really do get a good deal. I'm just advocating.
If you can gather those numbers up maybe for this afternoon, Commissioner Morgan wants that. And it's just, well, I don't know if we need to put it on an agenda, but we can have that information.
Item number 3, if you read it, is the implementation portion on page 9. It talks about findings from prior phases will result in the preparation of a strategic plan and implementation matrix.
What page
is
you got?
Is that in addition?
Page 9 in the...
Is that
it's actually page 71.
So they're going to write a strategic plan as part of this contract or next phase after they do what they're doing right now to gather the information?
So they're gathering the information, they're writing the strategic plan, they're coming up with the plan on how we
actionable
move forward.
Items.
The actionable...
The whole
right,
thing.
The whole thing.
Okay.
It will say, you so-and-so is going to do this. This is what the anticipated cost is. This is the timeline for it.
Yeah, the implementation matrix is on page 10 as far as the action items and priorities and stuff.
I just didn't want to be... You paid $25,000 for them to gather the information.
Okay.
And then they come back to you and say, another $25,000 will get you a plan.
We'll tell you what we got.
It's like, you've got to be kidding me. This just goes on and on.
Yeah.
And all we do is write plans, and none of it, you know, gets to...
Is that $25,000, is that the total?
Our Josephine County share
of that,
but total.
I mean of their proposal. They're not going to do, as Commissioner Harris says next year, well, we've got phase one out of the way, and now we're ready to move on to the consulting firm. We're ready to move on to phase two, and we want another $10,000.
That is correct. That's the whole thing for us.
Okay.
And it is our first original plan. Other than a SEDS plan, which I said isn't really a strategy.
The other thing that needs to do is come back to these people who are writing this check before they finalize this plan and kind of go over what they found. I asked Eco Northwest to do that. I said, before you go say, whatever it was, example of that business, that's what we want here. That's not what they want here. That's not what I want. That's not what you want.
Yeah.
We want something that removes barriers, provides for, you know, a local entrepreneur to come up, not to just, we'll give you $22 million to build something out here. Well, wait a second, how come you didn't give that to, you know, the small business in Oregon is what employs people. Very few are employed by a big business.
I'm not looking for a home run, I'm looking for a base hit.
Yeah, little guys are great.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Can I just, maybe I can answer the question we had without going to this afternoon, just looking at this too. So as far as the cost, it's 54 cents per citizen is what you're being charged.
My only question is this. I'm looking at the city populations. I'm back up on page 58 of our packet, which is the spreadsheet of the cost. Mm-hmm. Population of Grants Pass is 36,800. And Medford is 78,500. Yet, if you look at how much Medford's paying, it's 23,650. That would be equal to our population of 85,000, so they're just below us at 78,500. And so we're paying 25,000, City of Medford is 23,500. But Grants Pass is paying separately, and Grants Pass's 36,000 is in our 85,000. So if you take that 36,000 away from our population of our county.
No, 45 is
in. And you have 45,945.
Say it again.
45 is outside of the incorporated area.
Correct. But what I'm saying is that Medford's population is 78,500.
Mm-hmm.
And their bill is 1,500 less than ours.
No.
They're counting our population as the full population, including Grants Pass, if they're doing it by population. They didn't take Grants Pass out of our numbers. Otherwise, we would have paid less than the City of Medford, who has a higher population than our unincorporated area.
Okay, so our City of Grants Pass, we're paying $11,044, and Medford is paying $23,500.
So, all right, compare Josephine and Medford.
Josephine and Medford, and that doesn't quite work out.
Well, because counties are being charged 54 cents a citizen, and a city's being charged 30 cents a citizen.
That's why.
Okay.
What you just did, though, is you presuppose why without asking the question of why. Yours was a population fix, not a percentage or a percent per person.
And then I see that up here that the population's 45,000 at 54 and 67,000 per 54. Okay.
Well, that's what it is.
Yeah, so the counties are a different rate.
What are we? We're 54 and they're 30.
Counties are 54 cents a citizen, and cities are 30 cents a citizen.
Do we have a justification for the difference?
That's the same rate. So that is the rate that, if I remember right, that's the rate the board set for dues last year.
Yes.
Is that counties were at a higher percentage?
What it's referring to the video poker funds when it says 54 cents a...
That's lottery dollars.
Lottery dollars.
So is that saying where we would pay it out of?
That's where we generate our economic development funds, and this is an economic development.
That's where our... Clean knows in conversations, that's where economic development, how our economic development budget is funded.
I was just, it's the only place I saw reference to the video poker fund, so I was just curious if... I only said to bring it back this afternoon to give Commissioner Hare time to look at it while trying to be mindful of the time frames of this study.
Well, it says it right there, the difference in the rates.
Do you think we can put this to bed now and not bring it back this afternoon?
I think it's up to you guys. You guys are going to see this through. It's mostly in your time frame.
I'm okay with moving forward, but I think it's also one of those things that we need to use the wisdom of what you experienced with Econ Northwest.
We all experienced. You guys were either you were here or on that side of the pond.
I wasn't. It was my year off. But I attended as a citizen.
It was tough, you know. You're only one. And in this, you're going to have less of a voice, I would imagine, through... I mean, we were, you and I, in the city. It's really not that much there. And I still didn't feel like I was heard. It was like, who else are you listening to? I said, I have to see you back here before this product is done, and you put a bow on it. Never really happened. Of like, where are you? What did you come up with? Yeah, that sounds good. No, don't do that. Or where are the actionable items? We're struggling because we didn't.
Let's put that down as a requirement that they really, you know, I'm in favor of moving forward, but I think with the caveat that they come to a.
Is that something you can advocate for?
Well, I would say this, you know, on our board we have.
Or they come back to you. They don't come back to the MUNES.
They would come back to the board with everything, and I feel good about the members we have on the board from Josephine County. I mean, I'm not saying they're vocal, but they're engaged people. You know, we've got Aaron Osland. You know, we've got Pat from, I'm going to say SOS, what's his last name?
Fahey.
You know.
But he's not,
I mean, they're not people that sit and just listen. They're engaged and they question. So, but in my quarterly reports, I can give updates as well to the board if we want that.
I think if there's an opportunity to hear from the contractor inviting a board, or we always, is he invited all the time or?
Yes. The bad thing is our meetings are during your executive sessions.
We'll move the executive session because I think it's important that we be there.
Okay.
We'll make accommodations for that in the schedule. That's important.
And Colleen's been very good about
keeping you up to date.
Okay, let's go to lunch, and we sit down and talk about stuff. So
great.
Yeah.
Although I'm not there to participate at the meetings, which I would like to be.
But I do go to lunch.
You guys communicating is key to that. Okay.
Okay. We're done with you.
So bringing it back this afternoon, we're doing it.
Okay.
This would be the one with Colleen's signature on it, then, for Wendy.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Are you sticking around?
I am.
Thank you.
Item number B, Public Works, Rob Brandis, which Rob said, Eric, come on forward. And it's item number one, resolution number 2018-060 on the matter of granting vacation of a portion of... There you go, going for a vacation again. Eric, don't you get enough time off?
Vacation of a portion of
Dog Creek Road, a public right-of-way.
I haven't had an actual vacation.
Rescind
a lot
and
of long
replaces
weekend.
Resolution number 2017-028.
Right. As you remember, that last resolution required paved turnarounds.
Mm-hmm.
And Public Works has decided that that's not quite required, as long as we get a letter from the state fire marshal saying gravel turnarounds will work.
Okay.
So the reason we're bringing this back to you is to tell you that there's this new resolution replacing the paving. It'll be brought forward to you again next week for your signatures.
Okay.
And Public Works will not allow recordation of the document until we see that letter from the fire marshal. And there's also this requirement for a Mylar of the constructed plan. You know, we have changed county engineers here. Neil Burgess, who is actually out on vacation, won't see this until next week, and he needs to sign off on this since the signature...
This is the interim, right?
No, Neil has been hired as the county engineer, is my understanding.
And I said that out loud.
That's
and
my
I'm okay with it.
Understanding. So he needs to see this and provide his signature along with Chuck's.
What are you doing?
Chuck's signature.
Just out of the frying pan into the fire. Man alive.
We're not here next week. And so is there something, I mean, is there something the applicant has to do with you guys before we sign off on it? Is that what you're saying?
No. You can go ahead and sign the resolution. It just won't be recorded until we see that letter from the fire marshal.
Well, why are we deviating within 1 year of something that should be standard practice? I can drive anywhere in Klamath County, and they don't have, they have more severe weather, and they don't have paved turnarounds at the end of their cul-de-sacs. I'm almost sure of it. They have 1,400 miles of gravel roads in Klamath County. What's going on that we've gone, and I'm not trying to give this to you, Eric, because I think you're just a messenger, but going from a resolution that the board passed last year that said we require paved turnarounds, and now we don't? This is a program in charge of roads. And it should be, you know, something that we know they need to be paved turnarounds, or they don't. Because I think we granted a variance to somebody who looked for a road vacation recently, and we didn't require paved turnarounds. I don't believe we did on, what was it, West's property or something?
That's this.
That's what this is.
Yeah.
We didn't require it then, but that's what they're now saying is change it to
right.
Because they asked us last year if it could be something different.
Yeah.
And so why it's now coming back to us saying, can it be something different when last year we said that? That's curious.
Why don't we get it right?
Exactly. But the one thing different with Klamath County is they don't have the propensity of slides that we do or the mountainous region the same way. Maybe in some areas, but it's different terrain.
Rainfall, that's probably the biggest thing.
And so the gravel difference worth runoff and all that other kind of stuff. However, I do remember when Rob was in here asking if we can have an alternative of what those turnabouts would be. And we already said yes a year ago.
Right. Okay.
Wait, if you were hearing something else?
That's why I came in, because, yes, it was never recorded, the one from a year ago, because they did not agree with doing the paved turnarounds.
But I thought we were the road authority. Not doing the road, not doing... Can you come up to the table?
Yeah.
Say it again.
You did go through the whole process of the road vacation last year. And, you know, the resolution that was signed, still sitting here, it was never recorded because the resolution itself said it would not be recorded until they could show the county engineer that they have done the paved turnaround. But in the interim, you would know more about that than I do as far as who started saying
we don't really want to
do the paved turnaround.
Yeah.
John West, I mean.
And John West is the one who was arguing against the pavement.
Because I don't think it's a paved road.
It's not.
Right.
It's paved. There's a county-maintained road that is paved. It stops at a certain point, and Dog Creek Road becomes local access.
Yeah.
It's after that point that it's local access where we were requiring these paved turnarounds.
Right.
And the paved turnarounds were required because the RLDC requires that.
Right.
And we discovered...
Is it on local access?
Paved turnarounds,
that's
what the RLDC says. So we had to follow that until... I don't know who came across this, but it said with fire marshal approval.
Mm-hmm.
So the paving was abandoned as long as we get a letter from the fire marshal that says, yes, we can get our equipment up there and we can turn around even if it's gravel. And that's what we're...
Why do we have to have the fire marshal? Shouldn't we have the local fire agency? I would much rather ask Chief Hoke, are you cool with that? Rather than the fire marshal, who is not responsible for fighting, you know, structural
Chief,
fires.
Does Chief Hoak have any authority over...
No, I'm giving him as an example. I'd rather ask the local.
There is no fire chief over this area but us. If you give me authority to be the acting fire chief
about,
for 5 minutes, then
I've
ask
been
me.
I've here through two fire chiefs, and they vacillate. I would say they're not real consistent.
True.
So that's putting it in the hands of somebody who's, you know, could change tomorrow about their opinion of, no, I want every road paved, every turnaround.
I don't know where the state fire marshal came into it.
I can't explain that either. It's in Chuck's report and recommend from
it's
July.
It's just probably in the RLDC, and so if we're deviating through that, through resolution, can we change the element that we're predicating the decision on to the local fire chief or the road authority or something like that? I just...
I have no problem with that.
The reason it's coming before you right now is because... this has been sitting since July with let's get this moving. And in fact, that's why the report recommendation is from July. And then it just didn't get moved forward. So now we have a situation where we have a different county engineer. So our fix it for that was to say, to have Neil look at it and countersign it. If Neil doesn't countersign it, we've been asked to move it forward from others. And so that's why it's here. If the board's not ready to move forward with it and you need more information, then we just
I don't have to ask, if I don't have to wait on the fire marshal, which apparently we may have been waiting for.
Yes.
And we could wait how long for the fire marshal?
I have not seen one.
Well, the resolution is written such that we don't have to hear from the fire marshal until we just won't record this until we get it.
I'm talking in circles again, Pat. If I don't have to ask the fire marshal to wait to record it, then I'd like to do that. If there's somebody else I can ask, if I have to ask Commissioner Morgan or Commissioner DeYoung or the entire board,
that's a technical that we would have to ask. I don't know where that came from.
Let's
on the fire
ask
marshal
it.
Part of it.
Let's move it
I don't
forward.
Know if that's in the RLDC.
And get going. I don't know.
I wasn't paying attention.
Okay.
Let's find out the answer to that question so that this resolution never has to come back before the board to wait on a fire marshal or any of those other questions. Just can move forward.
And the interesting part is I do specifically remember having the conversation with Rob last year that said, why does it have to be a paved turnaround when it's not a paved road or something like that? And so I thought it was already addressed. And so if...
it was addressed, but then it came back.
And that's where it came back.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, and that's why it never got recorded, because they weren't willing to pave it. So it sounded like there was all of a sudden someone saying, well, look, here's how we can change that as long as the state fire marshal. So the state fire marshal portion of that came from somewhere.
It sure sounds like we've been waiting on the state fire marshal to sign off on something.
If you take a look at the way the resolution is written, it's basically saying... the board will not record this.
They'll, I heard you the first time.
Yeah.
Until the state fire marshal, Pat. Forgive me if I'm getting frustrated. I want to take that element that we are waiting
for. Pull
that
out of it,
We're waiting for that, right?
We're waiting for the state fire marshal.
Thank you.
Okay.
So, thank you. We are waiting for the state fire marshal.
Take
that requirement out. If we don't have to have it in there.
Okay.
It's not state law. Ask somebody who... we can get a response from a chief fire.
Where does it show that we have to have state fire marshal approval to
the road authority?
That's county engineer. The county engineer is telling us that. So
he's basing that on something.
Yeah. So what is it based on, and is it something
exactly? This isn't complicated. I want that problem solved, and we'd like that done, and we can move it forward. To whatever point, if it's the 20th, so I think the board's in favor of solving that and moving it forward to the next board meeting.
Which is not next week, you said.
No, it's the 20th.
The 20th.
Whatever it looks like.
Does that...
but it has to be on that weekly business session.
Okay, all right.
This has been a while, and it's just that one little thing. I know it can be solved.
Totally.
And going forward, if we pull that out of there, I think it'll make things easier going forward when we have the next one and the next one and the next one. Correct?
Agreed.
And maybe we just ask the county engineer. Maybe that's all it is. Maybe it's in-house.
Yeah, I'm not sure where that came from. But
he's asking for something, and there's a reason for it.
So it seemed like that was the fix-it too. Well, if we don't have it paved, then at least we have to have an okay. So
that sounds logical.
Yeah.
It just sounds challenging to get this fire marshal.
But if you get a state fire marshal that says, oh, no, he's from Portland. Our trucks don't leave
the pavement. It says it's the fire code. So under the recommendation in Chuck's report, Section 3, it says the petitioner shall construct turnarounds at each end of the remaining public right-of-way, which meet the standards and requirements of the fire code, as evidenced by written approval of the state fire marshal. And the petitioner shall provide Public Works Department with a copy of the state fire marshal's written signed approval of construction turnarounds.
I'd rather ask the local fire protection district.
Which,
it's their trucks.
It's their trucks.
Can you turn around there? Yes.
There is no local fire protection district in this area.
Then that's the closest one. Okay.
Dog Creek, it's not part of...
Is Dog Creek in Wolf Creek? Or is Dog Creek in Sunny Valley?
So then there's...
So there's no fire district.
Okay.
Which might have been why the fire marshal...
Maybe it comes back to us and we could have answered this. Great.
Okay, thank you.
So we're on for the 20th unless...
Nope.
But we might have to change the resolution. So.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
That's all.
Okay. Item C, forestry. Mr. Streeter.
Good morning, Commanders.
They are...
C1 is Amendment 9 to the ONC Logging Road Right-of-Way Permit and Right-of-Way and Road Use Agreement M... 1538.
Yes, this is a pretty simple cleanup of basically what's called errors and omissions in our current agreement that we already have. Discovered some roads that weren't in the agreement, so we're just adding those in. It's all BLM roads and lands that we're adding in. The county isn't adding anything into it. And this will happen periodically as we discover stuff as I go to use roads. And they go, oops, we forgot those.
We tried to do a comprehensive catch-all, but there's always going to be stuff we...
Yeah, and in fact, this one's here ready to be signed by you guys, and I'm already in the works with some other ones coming up. Okay. So it's just a constant battle as we move from piece to piece, finding little pieces of stuff that weren't added into the agreement originally.
Does this not have to go through the Medford office? It only has to go through the Grants Pass office?
The Grants Pass area manager is the signing official. So it actually originated for writing and everything in the Medford office, but the Grants Pass area manager has to sign it.
So they're aware of it in Medford?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I have no problem with it.
I think we should move it forward and expeditiously.
Move
You're not waiting on it? No, it's just housekeeping.
I ask for forgiveness and not permission sometimes if I don't have it. Once I get it signed by you guys, I get it back to the BLM for signature, and then they record it and everything. So it's all official and recorded and everything.
Okay. Well, let's just make sure they record it, right?
Oh,
they
do. Okay. By we, I mean me.
Yeah.
So want to move this to consent on November 20th?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
If
you have another one of these... I don't know that it's the best use of your time to come in. This is fairly routine. I think that with the board's approval, we could just move them forward on consent in the future.
Okay.
Do you have an objection to...
I don't. I mean, if I bring it to you for signature, I'm okay with it. So...
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And if, by default, and if you bring it to us, it's already originated in BLM. Everybody upstream of you or downstream of you already knows what's going on.
Yeah.
The legwork's done.
So it's basically either I or them discover that we're missing some roads somewhere.
Yeah, it happens.
Good.
They typically take care of writing the amendment and everything, send it to me, I review it, and at that point bring it to you guys for signature if I'm okay with it, and then to that back to them and it gets recorded.
I just want to be efficient with your time. I mean, you've spent at least an hour and a half here.
for something that's very administrative and routine. So, is that, if that's okay, I think you're good to go.
Okay.
We'll just put them on the calendar for moving forward.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item number three, quarterly department update. First A is airport's quarterly update. Larry Graves, please step forward.
Good morning, commissioners. Something in writing for each of you here to follow along. One for Wendy.
Did you bring something in writing? Are you here for your
job? And I'll email this to
you.
That's
awesome. Awesome.
Love to. Perfect. That's my opinion. We don't have.
Well, if only yours mattered.
It doesn't.
Larry?
It's good.
What do you got?
Well, we have...
lots going on.
Yeah, always. But... we have a new master plan update that's been kicked off. We had our kickoff meeting October 3rd, Wednesday at noon. I offered a free lunch to 20 participants, and miracle of miracles, all 20 of them showed up.
You found the key to their hearts.
Well...
You
got to do what you got to do. Exactly.
But the Italian sandwiches and free beer probably had something that.
You know, we had street tacos from Taco Mania. And,
they do a good job.
That was a big hit. Yeah, they were quite good out in Merlin, so it was nice to help Michael out, who's the owner of the restaurant. That's going along very well. We have a lot of interaction with Kaufman Associates, who is the engineering planning firm that we've retained to do this master plan update. They're located in St. Louis, but they are traveling all the time, and they come by and actually drop in on us when they can. They were here for the meeting, and they will be back here on December 12th when we have our next public forum, which will be announced with an agenda, et cetera, regarding this master plan update. So we want everybody in the community to be aware of what we're discussing. It's going to be 4 p.m. At the Grants Pass Airport on Wednesday, December 12th.
December 12th.
Yeah.
And hopefully
your WBS will be over by then, if you have one that day. So
it's an evening.
You have an evening one? That's right, it's the second. Well, yeah, we may move it up a little bit, but yeah, we'll see. We can do it a little earlier in the afternoon.
Yeah, I think
we need to. I wanted to try to capture, you know, the folks that are, you know, get off work at 4:35 and they want to, you know, come in. But
you know, I think that's going to be fine. If the board was there for an hour and then travel time of a half an hour to get to the WBS by 5:30.
Is that when it starts? 5:30?
Okay. Yeah, I think that's fine.
Okay.
I think it's important. I will want to be there. I think the whole board, Commissioner Morgan's probably busy already, but that's what you've said. It's really important that we hear that. And then thinking of, you don't want to miss anything in this plan, because having to say, oh, you're going to have to wait 5 years or 10 years before you can do your next one to do that great idea you just had.
Yep, I agree. So in any case, love to have the whole board there if possible, but... it's a public meeting, so it'll be publicly noticed and
we'll
an agenda and everything else. So,
we'll
okay, yep. Southern Oregon Air Academy, I think they're just about to sign a lease with us for the facilities at the Grants Pass Airport. I know they hold their board meetings out at the airport in the classroom, and I can hear them going at it, you know, almost every Wednesday. So,
do we have a lease totally refined?
I think so.
I think so.
Yeah, and it's gone to Carl, their attorney, and it's gone back and forth. There's a lot of dialogue, and it's all friendly, and you know, we're trying to figure out how to make sure that we integrate the airport facilities requirements, because it's a unique ground lease. Because of that, most of our leases that the county enters into are other than at the airports, they have different structures. So, and I think everybody's satisfied with that. So it's about to move forward, and we're still flying kids. The last of the three summer camps we did, some of the kids didn't, well, none of them got their flight because we were smoked out.
Oh, wow.
On that Friday afternoon. And we had done the previous 2 weeks with volunteer pilots, and we'd gotten all the kids up for their flight on Friday mornings. But this particular Friday, the smoke was so bad that the airport was essentially shut down.
That's pretty pivotal to the experience.
Well, it is. So we've gotten about 5 of them up for their flight, and then as the kids and the parents contact us, then I put them together with a pilot, and we've got 2 who've called me in the last couple of days, and so we'll probably get them, you know, up in the air here on Saturday afternoon. You know, this weather pattern, we're fogged in at the airport at the moment, but it usually clears up by about noon. So hopefully, fingers crossed on that.
Put the Southern Oregon Air Academy lease, sorry to go back, on an executive session, the next one, just for an update. I'm not sure where we settled out on elements of, you know, the facilities retainer, stuff like that.
Yeah.
That I knew, you know, there was some guiding direction, but I'd hate to be on a trajectory that was, whoa, well, that wasn't where we were going to go.
Sure.
Before they sign off on it.
Yep.
And dot that T.
Okay. I will
get with... Are they close to a final thing between the two?
I believe they are.
Okay. Sooner they could get that to us to see if we can see what exactly what the details are and so on and so forth.
Yeah, I didn't know that we, I didn't remember us approving a final.
No, you haven't approved a final one yet. So.
We haven't seen it.
I think if they're looking at a final draft, it wouldn't, I think it'd behoove us to just say, this is what it looks like. I'm sure it's really
Well, that's my guess. I don't participate in their board meetings.
No.
But it's our lease.
Exactly. So
we should know what it says.
Well, we should. And I expect to see that before it becomes, you know, finalized.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, and so if you want to discuss it in an executive session, then I'll just get with Pat and Wally and make sure that they schedule it. And
I just think it makes sense that we're running parallel tracks. They're discussing the final draft.
Yep.
We should.
The only surprise is when it comes down to the very end, but I want it to flow into it. Everybody signs it. We're all happy because we've all seen it. No surprises.
You got it. And, you know, the discussion of the soil lease brings up the two parallel things we have going on at the Illinois Valley Airport, which is the Smoke Jumpers proposal to purchase, which I think we've discussed it to the point of a long-term lease, and that's where everybody on this is on the same page with that. And I want to keep the issues separate. The old caretaker they are totally separate, and the old caretaker house, I'm still waiting for a proposal from them.
Well, they submitted something, and I'm supposed to be drafting an MOU that outlines the process,
okay,
or at least the principles to put into an MOU.
Sure.
And
I know you want to get that resolved as quickly as possible.
I've got
as
a draft of that. Okay. So it's just laying out, much like we had an MOU that we just did with the City of Cave Junction that talked about that lighting and security plan. And it just says, you're going to do this, we're going to approve this. So I don't want any surprises down the road, anticipating as much as possible.
MOU have a time frame in it? A time element?
It was.
I mean, that it can't drag on.
No.
We're gonna fix this thing, and 7 years from now, we're still not doing anything.
I thought it was June. You know, 6 months.
Yeah, they claim that they can get it done. You know, in that time frame.
They say they can get it done in 3.
Yeah.
Give them 6.
Give them 6. In case somebody gets a cold or something.
So I'm going to call that a remodel/repurpose. Mm-hmm. And we'll have it be a community meeting building or something of that nature, where we have an airport administration office in there.
It's not a community building.
Okay, good. That's fine with me.
Building. We need something in that. I'm assuming
it is your building. Jason will have an office in there and stuff like that, but I don't want it
in your MOU. Make sure
open. It should be aviation related purposes.
Okay.
Once
that MOU is in place, if they agree to it, it needs to include, you know, elements of this is what you're going to do, this is what we're going to do, and I want to see when this thing moves forward, a permitted from building and safety and development permits from planning and development. I want to see all the permits. I want to see the engineering drawings or whatever they have to submit in order to get approval for that remodel. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I want them to buy into that.
Well, let's talk about
and put a time frame on that. Okay.
And the MOU just guides the remodel.
Yeah, not the rest of it. Separate issue.
It guides the expectation of intent to be used next, that it's your building, it's still the airport's,
right.
It's not included in the lease. Stuff.
Very glad to hear you say that. I mean, that's been my position from the beginning, which is that we would own and control that building, continue to own and control it as we do today.
Well, that's what we said when Commissioner Morgan and I were here. I think you were at a part of the ACT meeting or something. We talked about that. That's the direction.
Yep. Very good. Okay, moving on. Wildfire season is officially over, and we have new wildfires breaking out every day. Had one pop up yesterday at Colstein, right at the summit. And that's, in my estimation, probably a smoke that's been just smoldering for a couple of months. And then the winds have come up. we get a lot of wind in that area right there at the Siskiyou Summit, and I live down in that area, so it was pretty breezy last night, and that's the kind of thing that lights those things off months later. They have stumps that will lie under a bed of snow for the entire winter, and the first big wind we have in the spring, they'll flare up again, so it's an interesting phenomenon. But all the helicopters have left. The last one left on Tuesday and from Grants Pass Airport. And the last thing they did before they left was come into the office and pay their fuel flowage fees when they'd been pumping Jet A fuel into their helicopter right on our airport. And so they paid us for that, which is a refreshing development now that they're starting to recognize they need to do that. Our parallel taxiway Bravo is complete, as you know. We finished it late last year, and it's been in use since the spring. And now we have developers. We have private companies, Dutch Bros, Rogue Valley Door, Sean McGillivray, a few other people who have approached and said, I'm ready to build a hangar in that area. Please tell me what I need to do. So nice. I'm working with Eric Hesacker and with our development, planning development, James Black, to develop a checklist specifically for airport development on that part of the airport, which there will be a few non-standard types of requirements. And I've warned everybody that it's going to take a little bit longer than you are used to because we have Uncle Sam looking over our shoulder and requiring that we do an environmental determination before we put in that culvert to carry the water away from the airport and off underneath Flaming Road and, you know, that kind of thing. So I've told everybody to expect that it will take a little bit longer than normal to get through that process. But I'm also at the same time working with the FAA and the people that we worked with for our environmental determination on the taxiway. And telling them, hey, it's in the same neighborhood, it's the same ground that all the engineers walked last year, and, you know, so cut us some slack here. Don't force us to go through a complete, you know, engineering review for this portion of it. We have another area on the airport on the southwest corner, the hangar access area. We had 10 acres of forest. It's been cleared. We have a new taxiway there and a couple of hard pads ready for building. And I am preparing a renewed five-year capital plan, which I believe I presented to the commissioners in February of this year, and with updates for the things that I believe the county should want to own. I don't think it's wise from an airport longevity and financial stability and health standpoint that we allow people to come in and build their own hangars, their own private property on top of our dirt lease. It makes much more sense. It's a better business case for the county if we own and control those facilities. We build them and we lease them out long-term or whatever it might be to private parties and commercial businesses who want to move into the airport, because the level of financial participation or revenue, however you want to characterize that, is 30 times over the life of that lease what it would be if we just leased the dirt. And that's a revenue stream that we need to survive. It goes right into our operations.
The challenge is that you're not capturing like a property reserve on the lease rates that you have right now.
I am in some areas, but you're right. We have not been a property reserve participant.
Even if you stayed within your own enterprise fund and said 10% or whatever it is we capture, you could use,
and then put that into an escrow or a property reserve.
Yeah, your own personal property reserve to say you're able to maintain your facility, because 5% of your lease rates currently are dedicated to your own internal property reserve.
Right.
To renovate, rebuild, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So when you hitch your wagon to this star, which I support, that's the challenge, is you have to be capturing that. And that's just good business sense. And
I agree with that 100%.
It's
The challenge is that our revenue stream
doesn't afford
so it. Far has not even supported operations
right.
at a very reduced level, you know. And so that we know we've got 60 years of deferred maintenance out there. You know, yeah. I mean, the tenants have taken things into their own hands over the decades when their electrical service wasn't adequate, and they've strung their own electrical lines up, and they've tied into existing, it's a crazy thing. It's not safe. And we're actually doing those safety upgrades now. I mean, we have to prioritize these things, and we're going to do the things that get us the most bang for the buck and make us a safer environment.
So what you and the board needs to have a discussion is the cost benefit of hitching your wagon to this star of, we have three hangars out there, X number of deals.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to work, or are we just better off in the ground business? We don't have to maintain facilities. It's your building. You put it up, blah, 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 to our standard.
Right.
And knowing that we're only going to get this kind of revenue,
mm-hmm.
but we only have this amount of liability with that infrastructure, or saying we're going to have this amount of revenue and we're going to have potentially this amount of liability with replacing those three rows of hangars. It's like...
Yeah, and...
I don't want to get 25 years down the road, which I won't be, and then all of a sudden say, we got to re-roof those three hangars that we built, and we haven't put any money aside for them.
Well, that's the problem that we're dealing with right now. That was never done. That's never been done in the past. And if we are going to be truly self-sustaining as an enterprise fund, we do need to set aside 5 or 10% of our operating budget in an escrow account to be used for, large maintenance items, long-term maintenance items.
We're paying the building fund from day one, get it built, and be a part of that.
Larry, don't ever think that I was being critical of what you've been. We've been using capital depreciation to fund operations.
Right.
The fairgrounds has been doing the same thing. Parks has been doing the same thing.
Yeah,
so you're not the only one, and it's just, what are you going to do? You're going to put money aside, or I'm going to lay off a guy?
Yeah.
Or I'm going to keep a guy to maintain and not capture. Yeah. So you're between a rock and a hard spot.
Yeah. So, one of the things that is helping a little bit is that occasionally we'll get a private hangar owner who's retired or sold their plane and they want to get out of the game, et cetera, and they're willing to sell.
Yeah.
I had a conversation yesterday with somebody who said, hey, do you know anybody who wants to buy a hangar? I said, yes, I do. And those are amortized buildings. They still have a useful life way ahead of them for several decades. They were built better than the ones that we built for ourselves.
Yeah.
They will be less of a maintenance drain on us, and they'll be cash flow positive from day one. So, I want to tap into whatever monies I can, and I'm looking at all the different grant and low-interest loan programs out there, Business Oregon, regional infrastructure finance, and because those things will all help to kickstart, additional flight activity and business activity out at the airport. So,
and what a great place to have a focal point of leases being with you. It's not hodgepodge.
Well, we got a bunch of them. I think we have between 135 and 150 at last count, leases, active leases with the county. And, the scramble is keeping up with them as they require updating, because we have certain numbers that approach expiration every year. So,
Where do we stack up regionally with other airports, or can you even compare?
Well, there's an element of apples and oranges with every comparison you do on airports, but generally speaking, we are about the lowest price place to store an aircraft in the whole Southern Oregon region. And, we have a few high-price spreads. We have Ashland and Medford, where you can't get into a hangar, and if you do, it's $275, $300 a month minimum. We're below $200 a month for most of our county-owned hangars. And when I came on board 7 years ago, most of the hangar tenants were paying $70 to $90 a month for a T-hangar, which was half the market. And so part of the conundrum you face as a manager is, do I do a blanket imposition, we raise the rates to market level tomorrow, and then you have everybody just abandon ship.
You couldn't do that.
No.
You had lease agreements that were for 10 years.
Well, we always honored our lease agreements with the private hangar owners, but our county-owned facilities are month-to-month.
Okay.
And so what I've done and what I decided to do at that point was to raise them to market on an attrition basis so that as people retired, left the area, whatever, the next person in would pay market rate for that hangar. And that had its own problems because it led to the situation where you've got a guy paying $200 a month here, the guy next door is paying $90, and the guy next door to him is paying $200. And they're both looking at each other going, hey, what's with this guy in the middle,
Contract.
People understand that, though, for the most part. And I didn't want to chase out all the old-timers who've been supporting the airport through their purchases of fuel and attendance at the meetings and volunteerism and all that stuff, which is a large majority of those. So we're well over half of all of our hangars have been converted to market rate, and our revenues have increased 15% or more on an annual basis for the last 7 years. And we're still not where we need to be, but we have a lot of wins. We have, now we're collecting, you know, $36,000 a year this year from the Forest Service for their lease, and it'll be 38 next year and 40 the year after that, you know.
It's great progress.
Going back to,
that's money we never had, you know, that's good.
Going back to purchasing hangars when they come due,
mm-hmm.
I'd like to see the numbers on what are you going to pay for the hangar and what's your return on
it. You bet, you bet. And I do that for every single one, and I will put that out to you before we, you know, move forward.
Because, I mean, if you're buying it and you're not going to be on the positive side for 15 years, I don't know if that's a good deal or not.
Sure. Well, what we've done in the past, I'll give you two examples. We bought two big box hangars that were coming onto the market at Illinois Valley Airport. Bought one from Kurt Krause and bought another one from Jim Dunlap, and we paid a fair price for those, about half of what it would have cost to build new, okay? And we had immediately, they were occupied immediately, and the lease that they're paying us every month exceeds the debt service, the payback that we are making to the county on a monthly or actually annual basis. We just write them a big check from our department back to the property reserve fund. And we're cash flow positive on both of those. So it serves the airport in that we can keep people there as tenants, and it adds a little bit of positive cash flow to the airport operating revenues.
I'm curious as to when those mature. So in other words, you're going to pay mm-hmm. back the property reserve for 15 years, and then it's yours. It's just like buying a pickup on time. When do I own the darn thing?
Sure, sure. Understood.
When is it going to quit coming out of my bank account so that it really becomes...
Yeah.
Something that forced to be recognized.
Well, you know, it's an income-producing asset already.
Already.
At a fairly low level, $125 right. to $150 a month, you know, in excess right. of what we pay
but
back
to the county.
It's
not sitting there fallow.
No,
that's,
no, not
that,
at all.
Yeah. We structured that. It could have been 30 years, and you could have had, you know, raised your cash flow.
Yeah.
I think what this example is more important of is, did we take advantage of that purchase and the new lease and the new asset and capture a facilities reserve? Or do we right. have the trajectory of doing that when the cash flow is positive and you pay off the truck and then you start paying into that reserve at a pretty robust rate?
Yeah.
It almost, good fiscal policy says you do it even when it hurts.
Oh, yeah, up front.
So maybe that's something we look at to, like, implement maybe with the new master plan. Is this is mm-hmm. our general policy of capturing a couple of cents per square foot from looking to Arthur to, that's an enterprise zone.
Right.
So you should have your own property reserve to be leveraging against so that.
And you may choose to say, okay, I make $125 a month off of that and I need that right now. But at some point in time, you should say, I'm taking that whole 125 and putting it into my own property reserve. It's neutral right now. It's neutral. I'm making the payments and I'm just socking that money away for things that I need to borrow for
I'm really glad that you guys are thinking this way
time
because
to do that, but I think
no. I mean, it you have
well,
to make
actually,
time to do those things.
Yeah.
With this, what's going on before the end of the year?
Yep.
You'll establish what I would love to do is take those revenues and establish a property reserve.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean you can't use them, mm-hmm. but you've got yours.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't know. We can think about it. But I think that's a good strategy.
And rather than using that $125 a month for operation, now you're putting it into something because you just said,
mm-hmm.
man, I'm way behind on my deferred maintenance.
Well, I still need to hire the guy to do that maintenance.
Yeah.
And everything we acquire increases the amount of work
right.
that we have to do. But one of the nice things about buying these private hangars, which were built 20 years ago approximately,
with
is that
life.
Yeah, they're relatively new and they'll be much less of a drain on our operating repairs and things like that. I mean, I was at the airport this morning. Jason is out there working with our temporary Willie, and they're rebuilding a door on one of our 60-year-old hangars because the old guy who's renting the hangar can't open the door. I would say that being able to open your hangar doors is a a reasonable assumption when you're paying rent to the county for a hangar. So we're making it work, you know. And you know, this is endemic. I mean, we have, you know, doors that won't open, and we have bad electrical in the inside the hangars, and wooden structure with bad electrical. What does that sound like?
This was a big thing that just happened.
Yeah.
Establishing a property reserve for airports.
I think it's
we just did that right here. Huge.
Agreed. Yeah.
As an enterprise.
Yeah. And have it be within the enterprise fund, and have it be
already
something
done.
That's not, you know.
No, yeah. Not exactly. It's messy on your end. In my mind, I don't know what the liability is sitting on the books right now for property reserve for airports.
Yeah.
I have no idea. But it'll be a one-stop look when we put it in to his deal. And I know you hate creating new funds. But this one,
it makes sense.
July 1, very good.
Fund 53 never existed before, and it's
whatever.
Okay,
perfect. Still a good idea.
Hey, it's already done. That's why he's smiling. He didn't even.
Arthur and I have been discussing this kind of stuff for quite a while,
big smile from Arthur.
Okay. Good.
Well, it's about time he had a good idea.
About time he had a good idea 6 months ago.
8 months ago, and I forgot about it already. That's when you know you've been here long enough, when you start resurrecting old good ideas that you didn't even remember.
You know, we're allowing you to just ramble on.
I
think it's great. Thank you, Simon, for the idea that
Arthur already
got this also.
Well, I used to have to, before this board, I'd go to Arthur and say, hey, I thought of a good idea. If the board thinks it's a good idea, it's yours. If they think it's a bad idea, well, actually, this was Commissioner Hare's idea. I was just presenting it, you know, so don't shoot me. It's his idea.
Keep talking.
We played that for 2 years.
Yep.
Him and JJ.
Simon, you're treading water over there.
I know.
No forward progress. You're treading water.
No.
I do have an 11:30.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, the rest of these items up here on accomplishments, they're kind of the routine things that we do all the time. The FAA has a supplemental discretionary grant program, which is in addition to their AIP grant program. And they've recognized that a lot of money comes back to them because projects aren't ready on time or things happen, right? So they wind up with an estimated budget of, you know, $2 million or whatever. Yeah, so far. Not with us. But
no, because you're...
So you need to be poised to tap into
that. That's exactly right.
Did you do the fuel station?
I have put in four grant applications, two for each airport, with the FAA just as of October 31st, and this is for their supplemental discretionary program, and it's only if the money becomes available, and then I get a phone call and they say, are you ready to go? And I go, of course, yes. And they go, okay, you know, sign this thing, get it back to us in a week, and then I do the scramble and I bring it into the commissioners and we do a public meeting and accept the grant and all that jazz. So
I met with a guy last week who's been 30 years in the manufactured home business, and he can get a lead on, we need a new one for the Grants Pass.
Absolutely, definitely.
And he thinks he can get us a smoking deal. So I'm supposed to go out with him real soon.
Okay.
And I think you and I need to chat, or I just hand him off to you. He's a great guy. I've known him for years, for probably 10 years. It just dawned on me. He's like, we're in the market for one.
And we need something that's like a third the size of the one that we put at Illinois Valley Airport.
Sure.
Maybe 500 square feet.
Yeah. But nice.
Our caretaker needs a better facility.
Totally.
And the airport needs a better facility.
Floor,
well, again, and, you know, and also...
discuss potential liabilities.
Yeah, it's the appearance, you know. I mean, here we are.
Yes.
You know, Grants Pass Airport, yay, and then we got a 1970 trailer with, you know, holes in the apron and you know.
Can do better. So
yeah, exactly.
Let's follow through on that.
Okay.
Work on that one.
Is there ever an opportunity, North Valley High School has a woodworking construction program. I wonder if it's something that we couldn't reach out to their program and say, could this be a project the kids do? Any of this stuff of... fixing up the apron.
Well,
fixing
a deck and an apron. And
and I've worked on manufactured homes for a long, long time. They have, they're unlike a home that you can go back and continue to repair. You can't do that on a manufactured home. Those, they're just not, in a lot of cases, they're not repairable.
That's fair, but even a new facility is going to need a ramp.
We'll need an ADA ramp.
We'll need a porch. We'll need an apron. We'll need a whatever else. Maybe
I've already talked with the contractors who do the site prep for manufactured homes, and and all that is being discussed.
Great.
You know, yeah.
When I was in the business, I unhooked a unit out here off of Redwood Avenue. The people bought it at auction. It was already set up in a park. The lady lived in it for roughly 2 months, and then she was committed to a home. She passed away. Her relative said, what do I do with this thing? So, well, your rents keep stacking up. And they said, we'll just auction it off and get it out of there.
Yeah.
And it was a double-wide, three-bedroom, two-bath, nice place.
Because the new person
and the people bought it. The people bought it and agreed to move it by a certain date for like $28,000.
Right.
It was crazy.
So if we can find something like that through your time to time. Contact, yeah.
This guy's dialed in.
Yep, good.
Yeah, and out here, Rogue Lee and whatnot, of course, those are all very old. Well, they're 50 years old.
Yeah.
But that's just something to look at.
Well, something new. And I've followed up on mobile homes that have come available where we foreclosed on them or we inherited them with a foreclosed property, et cetera. And, they were trash. I mean, they were meth labs or whatever else, and they're just not worth even looking at.
I just want to make sure that we're always looking at partnerships with the school districts.
Well,
and
you know, Jason, my ops experience,
yep. And all that other.
He taught the wood shop at Illinois Valley High School. Yeah. And so, you know, he's got contacts within the Three Rivers School District.
They're very.
But I know North Valley High School specifically has a woodworking program.
They're right there.
And they are right there. So, again, another reach out. And then maybe it's another opportunity to expose these kids of jobs on airports.
Yep.
They're not all aviation-related, but they are.
What's that noise?
Exactly. I mean, that's what we learned at that tour up there, is it's getting them exposed to everything that you can do on an airport.
Yeah, which opens a lot of people's eyes when they when they learn that. Yep. Significant issues, we've touched on a lot of them right now. One of the things I want to follow up on is the Joint City-County Economic Development Committee. And I've had visits from Barry Eames and I'm losing his last name, but from the city, who are very interested in helping the county promote the airports as assets to the business community, et cetera, and perhaps partner with Justine County on economic development monies that go toward capital improvements at the airports.
Well, it is the Grants Pass Airport. They should be contributing.
Absolutely. And I think that they are in agreement with that, and I think...
I heard that there was a need for application to the CEDC to refer to the city governing body to say, hey, it'd be great if you guys ponied up $25,000-$50,000 a year or whatever.
I'll follow up with Susan C. Ryder.
Waiting on.
Yeah.
Maybe check with Laura Glover. She's been the one coming to the meetings the last couple times.
I think the makeup of the council
Is Susan still going?
So, yeah, the CEDC.
You want to come up? Sure. Can we get on the record here? Thank you.
Yeah, the CEDC had met quite a while ago. Larry did a presentation to them, and after he left, they had made a recommendation that airports actually do a presentation to the city, because CEDC recommended that they both be funding the airports, not just the county. So, and now that they're getting ready to do their strategic plan, I think it's a really good time.
It's good timing,
to go
to talk to the What's city. Laura's last name?
Glover.
Glover.
In that
Glover,
presentation, it's key to codify what we've given the airports and economic development funds in the last 5 years.
Yeah, I think that's a good step forward there.
Oh, you can go 8, because we used to give you 30,000, and then we went to 20, and now then we went up to we paid for an employee or two.
Oh, you helped us with our Schedule D a year ago.
Yeah, we need to show our investment, and I think owe that to the city.
Yeah, that's
so,
that's
you know,
what
we're
going to
we're carrying
us.
The water on this.
Yep.
Thanks, Kaylee.
Julie. And then and then the contribution toward the fire suppression water pond rehab up at Ivy.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, there's it's not going to be embarrassing to say, well, this is what we're
going to be GP.
Pardon me.
That's out of there.
Oh, you're right.
Really
right. But I mean, yeah, we do want. I just want to show that the county's committed. You know.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Let's see. Caretaker maintenance shop. We need the caretaker facility. We've actually, I made a command decision to take over the lease of one of our T hangers, and to forego the $200 a month income in lieu of building a shop facility for our operations manager, because we didn't have one at Grants Pass. So, you know, he's lying on his back under a truck in the rain, trying to fix the fuel pump or whatever it might be. And
we own the hangar where the FBO is.
Yes.
So
yeah.
Our shop is leased to somebody.
It's leased to somebody else, but this was a T-hanger, which is all we need. It's just, you know, it's 1,000 square feet, but it's you can bring a vehicle in, get it out of the rain, and you know, that kind of a thing, or snow or ice or whatever it might
tools,
be. So
all that stuff.
Yep. So we now have that, and at $200 a month, that is a
cheap.
Yeah. Because we were looking at, you know, how are we going to solve this problem, and it made a lot of sense to do it that way. So,
great.
The caretaker, we did talk about it, and it's on here. So,
what's the electrical, not to go backward, but on the maintenance shop, that hangar you're converting into a maintenance shop, what's the electrical?
That was the very first hangar that we fixed the electrical in.
Okay, so because I'm going to assume he's going to need some sort of a little compressor in there.
Yep. Well, here's the other thing. The entire facility that the county owns is underserved with electrical power. We actually have direct buried cables still supplying power to the rotating beacon and the first three hangars on the southeast side, you know. And so part of the electrical safety upgrade is to be, there's been some conduit that was put in 15 years ago that's populated, but it's underpopulated. And we're going to try to fish some more line down that and get good service, 20 or 30 amp service to each of the buildings. Right now we got 20 amps going to five buildings. So you get four or five people that turn on the lights, and then someone turns on a compressor or whatever, and everything goes down. So it's just crazy. So anyway, we did an entire row, G row.
I would caution that you put too much power into them. Goes for a lot of spend of money, put a lot of power in there, because they'll use everything. If you put 100 amps in there, they'll put 150 amp load against it.
Understood.
It's just the way it happens.
Well, the plan
wiring
now,
is only going to handle 20 amps, and so be it, and that limits them to, you're not going to go put in a big single lug belt drive compressor in the back of that because it's not going to handle it.
Right.
It's not what it's for.
Agreed. Okay. So the plan is to put a 30 amp service on the end of each building, and that serves six hangars.
Okay.
And it's never used until, you know, weekends typically when people will come in on a nice day and they'll open it up and they'll polish their airplane, and they'll run an orbitals, you know, polisher or a compressor or whatever.
115 volt plug-ins max.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, okay. Yeah, 110. Yep, 115. So that's what's happening. It's already happened in the G row hangars, and then, you know, the final phase of that, once we get all the hangars upgraded, will be to run the conduit down there and place 30 amp service on the end of each building. So, yep.
Great.
Yep. And then, you know, open house next June. I'm already advertising it. It was a huge success to have that in the middle of June, as opposed to at the end of the summer when we're completely
smoked in again.
Covered with smoke. Yeah, and you know, you could look at the attendance. We had about 1,000 2 years ago, and this past June we had over 2,000 people come out to the airport for that airport day. And it was just a madhouse, and I loved it.
Good food, too.
Let's see if we can get you have a car show out there, and this year it conflicted with Klamath Falls, if we were scheduled for Klamath Falls. But we'll look. I'll see if I can find out 15th.
Yeah.
Works out for you.
And, we'll spread the word through the car shows and the car clubs, because they're a big participant, and they're a big draw.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of people come in to see those.
We'll look at that. Yeah. Also, I was very frustrated in listening to the senators and their idea that they're still... Paper said, oh, you know, all that everybody in Washington, D.C. is working on how do we put these wildfires out, and on a damn word said about how do you prevent them.
Right.
What happened to Smokey the Bear? Let's get Smokey out there. Only you can prevent wildfires.
Yeah.
No, prevention, that's clear out of it. Let's see how much money we can spend putting them out.
Oh, yeah, the whole philosophy of let's manage this fire, and we'll use this fire to accomplish our ultimate long-term goal of, you know,
spending money.
Yeah, put it out. Yeah, put it out. That's what the airport thinks.
Thank you. Anything else? Any questions for Larry? Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, we'll get that DVE thing done.
I'll put it on my schedule for tomorrow afternoon to finish.
Okay, very good. Thanks. You should have all of that in your box today or tomorrow.
Item number four, Arthur. You'll step forward for...
So we move veterans up. So is there a way we can, before Arthur, sneak veterans in for her quarterly update, since we just did his quarterly update? We asked her to come up.
5 minutes. 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
Well, she's bypassing a 2 o'clock meeting for us.
Yep.
Larry, you are a hard act to follow.
Good morning, commissioners. Thank you for letting me. I'm coming early. I'm going to be setting up for tomorrow's event as soon as I leave here. over at Ambassador. We're having a luncheon for veterans. It's our annual veterans luncheon event, so that we'll be setting that up. Last quarter, we brought in a little over $315,000 in new dollars, which was great. Our in-office clients are decreasing a bit by about 40 clients per month or per quarter, but our outreach clients has skyrocketed, and we're really targeting in-home veterans that can't get out. Our Applegate outreach, we closed down the Applegate outreach. It didn't produce like we thought it would. Mm-hmm. All the advertising we did, people just were not coming there from Murphy. We thought they were going to be coming from Murphy and Williams, and we didn't see a whole lot of that.
Partnered with like the Food and Friends, who goes to help kind of homebound people and saying,
So we go out there
to veterans and.
I haven't done that yet, but one of our veterans in our circle works for Food and Friends, and
that might be a population that's like you don't see. They're not going to come to you.
They call us.
Somebody's already going there.
We go to their houses out there. They'll call us and we'll do outreach to their homes, but to get them to the Applegate Library was a struggle.
But like so, a brochure that goes in a meal. Mm-hmm. If you're a veteran,
that's a good idea.
Contact,
just a flyer that when you deliver the meal, it's taped to the box, and did you know?
I don't know. Just a thought. If you've done that already, great. If you haven't,
that's a good idea.
Okay.
We just partnered with VA West. We're going to be out on in RCC, so we'll be out on RCC campus a couple times a month, working with the new kids. And VA West, we're going to be a permanent fixture in the CBOC here in Josephine County, which is going to bring us a lot of business. We're also putting flyers out in all the medical facilities. You know, are you a veteran? If these things are happening, like Vietnam veterans right now, they are just getting hammered with anybody that was really in country. Now's the time that this wave of cancers and is hitting. And so we're seeing a lot of them come in the office. We're seeing a lot of them pass away really quickly. So we're going to start hitting the medical facilities up pretty hard, too. Are you a veteran? Do you have diabetes? Were you in Vietnam? Come see us. Type deal. This flyer. We'll have a flyer. So we're going to do that. Our staff is pretty solid. We have a new upcoming VSO. She should be accredited by spring. We have one out on FMLA right now, and hopefully that'll turn over in a couple weeks. They're our event coordinator, so I'm really shoring up this event we're having tomorrow. But for the most part, we're fairly stable. We're going to bring in another halftime CVSO probably in the springtime, and that's in response to this money that we're getting from the state. We started two programs, both of which you know about, and I think I mentioned them as pilot programs, my last quarterly update. I'm really excited about this program. We're going to start next week with our first public kind of announcement of this program. This is the grant that we got from Oregon State University and the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and we're working growing veteran agripreneurs. So we're turning veterans into farmers, bring them through this program. It's a 10-month program. They'll be going through 10 classes on small food production and live seed production, irrigation, soil management, horticulture, equipment, cultivation, weed and pest mitigation and management, harvesting. Selling live seed in Southern Oregon is pretty lucrative. And so the idea is to take these kids that are, and we're finding there's a group of veterans that are very young, that are service connected and really don't work, and they're in their 30s and they have no investment in the community and their own lives, and I'm thinking that's why the suicide rate is going up. There's no connection to community. There's no connection. They're losing connection with the family. You know, Lily, as well as I do, you can only hunt and drink so much beer. You can only hunt so many times and drink so much beer. And so,
don't listen to her, Dan. It's okay.
And so we're trying. we're really trying.
You're limiting yourself.
We're really, yeah. There you go. We're really trying to get these kids involved and get some resiliency measures going on, getting them involved in being a productive part of the community. And this Agripreneur program is really what we're looking for. So we're sponsoring 10 veterans. We have 7 right now on retainer that are going to go through the program. We're looking for about 3 more. We started our Healthy Strong Families program using the martial arts medium to bring families together that have been separated by, that have experienced a degree of separation from deployments. And we have 2 very large families. Right now we're looking for a couple more families. It's kind of a pilot program, but it's pretty successful, and it's only been happening for about 6-8 weeks. So we're looking forward to it really growing. And that's about all I have. Do you guys have any questions for me?
One of the things that I've seen is once a veteran, this is just a statement, once a veteran gets on full disability, I see them basically checking out. They become the couch potato. And
we're not doing that. That is not what it's all about. And so
I want them to get into something, have this available.
Absolutely. So my spiel, when I'm sitting there doing my job and developing claims, I am looking for where can I spark this veteran? What sparks his interest? What sparks his attention? And how can I bring him back into being a productive part of the community? I had just a veteran just a couple weeks ago say he's a stay-at-home dad, and we're finding that that's a conversion that we're looking at. And so are you working in the schools? Are you doing the reading program in the schools with your children? You know, how are you getting back into the community, either giving back or working towards, being connected? And so that's what we're looking at as our 5-year plan. That's part of our 5-year plan moving forward, instead of just, getting these veterans their disability monies, is also how to figure out where they can
plug in
exactly.
Totally.
So that's all I have.
Thank you.
Hopefully we'll see you tomorrow at the
I just had a
Dan
friend of mine pass away here a while back, and her family, his family, had nothing but good things to say about our veteran program. And he was a disabled veteran, and that, I called you and you reached out to the family right away, and she said, my gosh, I was just so surprised that they responded that quickly. And so that was good.
Yeah, it's important good that to hear. Continue to be creative about finding ways to reach out to the ones that don't reach out to us.
Right.
Those that are able to walk in, they're with it enough. And I think we really owe it to people who are not in a capacity to connect.
Right.
And they're just as entitled to whatever it is that they may be.
I attended the Veterans Breakfast the other day, which is the first one I'd ever been to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still reluctant to go to those things, but that was a good veteran breakfast. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it. The reason I was there was Greg Walden.
Right. I couldn't make that
Walden.
One.
But other than that, I have not attended any of them. But
they're a great camaraderie opportunity. I think
yes.
One of the 3,
mm-hmm.
And there's a different kind of a style every time.
I sat next to Steve Chandler. There was a seat open when I got there. There was no seats open, and there was one next to Steve Chandler. And I thought to myself, there's a reason that seat's open, but I've known Steve for a long time. So I can handle him, I think, would be a good way to say it. Mm-hmm. He doesn't intimidate me. He's a pretty intense guy, and I love it. Mm-hmm. He's from the neighborhood down there. He and I grew up together in the neighborhood. Tough kid and tough veteran. Had a tough time in Vietnam, and sometimes it shows, sometimes it leaks through, and then other times he's just the nicest guy in the whole wide world. So it was good to sit down next to Steve, because I hadn't seen him in a while. So
I would really, as we get deeper into this program, I would really like to do a presentation with the Farm Corps group at one of the admin meetings, in spring.
How do you, are you in there with Oregon State? OHS, or excuse me.
So the Oregon State University Extension Office and the farm. It's MOD, yeah.
Small farm.
The
program.
Small farm corps here in Southern Oregon.
Yeah, the farm element.
The Rogue Farm Corps is their official title. It's a wonderful program. I think they've done this for women, mm-hmm. the agripreneur program for women, and also maybe disabled individuals, possibly. I don't know, but they've been doing it for a while. It's just...
That would be separate than OSU. I didn't see the disabled one. Maybe. But, yeah.
I think they've done women and...
Looks like the Southern Oregon Bee Girl.
The Southern Oregon Bee Girl, yeah.
Sarah. That's Sarah.
Mm-hmm. So I'll leave this for you so you guys can, you can look through it. And we would like to do a presentation to all the county commissioners during weekly
business sessions.
Yeah, that would be great.
So it's televised so the public can see.
There you go. Perfect.
Great.
In the spring, once we get our feet wet and get into it. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for adjusting your schedule for us.
Yes.
Yep. Finance next.
Actually, I want to make a motion to approve the plat. It's not listed here, so it'd be under other business item number 6. But we have
Mr. Under other business.
What's the title of the plat? Come on back. So I'll make a motion for that.
I'll second it.
Motion moved and seconded. Any other discussion?
Come back later.
Any comments or anything? Do you need?
Just need you to sign.
It,
that's okay.
Sign, get out of
his way. Sign here. Have a 2-word comment. Okay. Sign here.
Got it.
But moved and seconded. Any other discussion?
No.
Seeing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes 3-0. Not familiar.
Create more housing spaces.
Mm-hmm. If you guys want to come and sign this, so we can get our elected.
The other right pen.
There's usually two, right?
Arthur, if you want to come up, and you can be sitting in while we're.
We'll listen while we're signing.
I thought maybe I could sign it too.
Sign it, you want? Sure. I'm going to have to put it in the margin down here.
Are you all ready?
He doesn't sign plats.
Well, I think the main thing I want to bring forward today is to on the fee change schedule. As the board is aware, we are advertising for a public hearing on the November 20th weekly business session for fee changes. We have several fee changes that we're doing, but the reason I bring it up today is that we would like to add an additional fee to the community development planning fee schedule. And so I've invited our planning director, community development director, Julie Schmelzer, to present the fee change, the additional fee.
That's when you're going to have to do an additional one there to do it there.
Right.
We can't do it right now.
No.
It's in the works.
Right. Well,
if the board wants to move forward.
At the meeting itself. At the
20th?
Well, no. What we need to do is we have to have it. We're noticing the public hearing today, but we have to have it as part. We haven't done it yet.
It's just you now.
But we have to do the packet itself has to be available within 24 hours prior to the hearing itself. So we can include it in the packet part of the hearing. Yes.
So the fee thing I'd like to discuss, or it relates to the hearing we had yesterday on a certificate of compliance. It was raised, what do you charge? We do currently have a fee for a certificate of compliance on the books. It was when we were going to inspect only for, it's when the program was going to be under the Rural Land Development Code, and you only had one inspector going out at that time. We had a per plant fee in there, and it had a maximum in it. But as you know, Attorney Ross Day wanted us to address all marijuana businesses, not just production. So it doesn't make sense to have a per plant fee. It makes more sense to just have a marijuana business compliance fee for all of them.
Of any kind.
So I went through and I looked at, what is involved if you're doing just a basic inspection, let's say a half hour on the property, 45-minute drive time, two people. Because now that it's not in the RLDC, you're also going to have to have a building safety person, right? So, and that was for a basic inspection, half hour on site, 45-minute drive time each way would be at a rate of $55 an hour, was $412.50. That does not include the gas or the car. So my recommendation is your annual certificate of compliance inspection is $500. Now, yes, we're going to lose money on those that we have to go out a second and a third time, but eventually that should balance out.
Some you're going to be less than that. Some you're going to be more than that.
And as time goes on, so that first year, you know, you are going to find more, and you are going to be going back there a second time, a third time to try and get them in compliance. But that should balance out as time goes on. You know, the next year, they shouldn't have as many violations. You shouldn't be spending as much time. So, yes, up front, you'll spend more than $500, but in the end, that should balance.
How does that compare to the one that's already on the books?
The one that's on the books right now is a maximum of $500. So it would be consistent with that.
Okay, it was a maximum of $500.
Yeah, it was a $20.
And it was by plants, it was by canopy, which...
They didn't have the processors in it or anything of that sort.
Right, it was $20 per plant with a maximum of $500 is what we had when we were just looking at producers. You know, we also looked at home occupations, okay? You know, some people, you know, if you look at this as, you know, is it a business license type inspection thing? The home occupations go anywhere from $375 to $2,000 for those.
Okay, so now if we put this one $500 deal, does that encompass the marijuana per plant? Does this still apply to the marijuana per plant? Is this in place of the marijuana per plant up to $500? It just becomes $500 for anything marijuana.
That is my recommendation, yes. Okay, well, that all marijuana businesses have they're all in that freestanding code, that they're all treated the same. It's $500 per marijuana business, regardless what type of marijuana business you are.
And how big you are, doesn't matter, $500.
Right, and then what we would do is in the fee schedule where we do have that annual compliance certificate at $20 per plant, not to exceed $500, we would just replace that fee schedule period with $500.
We just take off the per plant and the square footage and stuff. Okay, I'm in favor of that. Any comments on that? Does that make sense to Commissioner Herring, Commissioner Morgan?
I think I'm going to abstain.
Not everybody's going to be 45-minute drive, 2 hours. Not everybody's going to be...
One at a time.
Exactly, and it's like as you're... To me, it seems a little high for mileage and stuff. I mean, the furthest out is going to be that. It's not always going to be... I mean, if you're doing inspections, you're more likely to have a list of them, and you're going to go do a route to hit them all. And so the amount of mileage between them...
But that's like reading meters. It's the same concept as reading meters.
Exactly. It's
however, though, you're going to have some that are more than, because we're going out O'Brien.
That's the extreme, though.
That is the extreme.
That's the furthest far out. So we're charging for the furthest away, everybody, versus how many are closer.
What's your drive time?
I did an average of 45 because I know that.
45 minutes drive time.
Yeah, because I know that the majority of mine...
I don't know if I could get to Selma and back in 45 minutes.
You can't get there and back, but you can get there.
She said each way, 45 minutes each way. So that's a 90-minute drive, drive time.
But I'd also say that, at least my experience with extensive experience working in the Building Codes Agency, is that they're ones and twos. They're not like you line up 15 in a single day. They're ones that are here that need to happen.
This is an annual compliance certificate, so I can see everybody. You don't need to get one in August.
Possibly if they're all scheduled at the same annual or different.
It's annual, so it's going to go based on your anniversary date. Everybody has a different anniversary date, so it's not like I can say I'm going to take everybody into Kilma today. You know, I'm going to take. Sit down and I'm going to say, okay, I've got have whatever 50 this week that have to be renewed. Where are they at? And you're going to try and get them together. You try because you try and save the time.
When you're done, I'm sorry.
So that's why I was saying the average because some are much further. Yeah, I mean, you're going out in some of these pretty remote areas. Some are easily an hour. Some are less. I think it's naive for us to think we're going to go to these properties one at a time. We do have people stand up there and say they're in compliance, and Mark and I actually had a conversation yesterday. When you look at that OLCC list, my guess, if I had to guess, going to get crucified for this, but I would say about 90% of them are not 100% into compliance. There's a lot of issues on these properties, so there is no way we are going to these properties one at a time, and I will document and keep track because I want to show these people that say there is not a problem, I want to be able to show this is what we are experiencing in our department. Keep in mind, you are paying, and I just want to again remind you that this is going to take probably 2 additional staff and a car. There is no way we can do this program with existing staff. However, I did run the numbers, and I believe that I did talk to Mark, and he does have money in his budget for an inspector, but when I run the numbers on what I think we're going to be doing, I feel that we can easily cover the program as well.
So, I...
What would your recommendation be if it's not $500?
I would say... I would see a tiered system based on, you know, or something like that.
But they did something else. So you're saying that 90% of these people are not in compliance, which means they're going to have to file for some other permit. So it's not just $500. It's $500 plus whatever other permits are going to need to become compliant. What if you said, this is $500, but you'll get $250 off of, because you're already out there inspecting for whatever else. I'm just suggesting that there's an opportunity to couple so that you kind of depreciate your trip.
If you're doing more than one function out there, amortizing it out.
Over. I don't know.
Here's my philosophy.
I just need to be
and
easy.
None of this includes my time, by the way.
I hear you, but I guess where I'm coming from is we have people that are complying with a program and they're applying for to be in compliance, and it's not supposed to be a gotcha. It's same as people coming in right now to get permits and different stuff, and we're throwing every little thing in the way of, oh, get this, and it feels like it's barriers. These are the people complying and wanting to do it right. And so we need it to be, how are we helping them get to that compliance versus, oh, I got you now, and I'm just going to ream you for anything and everything I can find, and we're just going to stack up these things, and we're going to show you what a problem it is. I want to be going into this as saying, this is a legitimate legal business. They're operating under the premise that we want to be legal. We're complying with your obligations, and how do we be a helper to them in that compliance versus a, now I got you, and it's like, wait a second. You have all the ones that aren't registered, all the ones that are illegal, that are doing all that other kind of stuff, and we're not focusing on them at all, yet we're going to throw the book at those that are trying to be compliant. We're not in a business of encouraging people to get permits in our county. Most people maybe don't want to get permits, and so for those that do apply, I want us to be of the premise in customer service that we're offering them the best help that we can to get their project done and not having barriers, but removing barriers.
And I would say we are in the same mindset, Commissioner, because we're not in the gotcha business. As a matter of fact, for the last 2 years, I've been saying, come in, get your permits, check with us, see if everything's okay. And I do mm-hmm. have people call. One of the women who spoke yesterday afterward thanked me because, good example, she's like, Julie, I don't know if I'm in compliance. I bought this property and there's this problem on it. What do I do? And I said, you know what, I'll send an inspector out there. We'll figure out a way to make it work. And we did. And that's what we do. I mean, we're trying to work with them. We're giving them 30 days up to 90 days and in extended circumstances more time to comply. But I also feel that the taxpayer, especially the one that's not growing marijuana, should not be supplementing the marijuana business. We don't supplement any other business.
I don't disagree. I'm just saying that any customer in our county that comes in and says, I want to get a permit, they've already shown they're trying to work with us. And our attitude in response needs to be, awesome, thanks for trusting us, thanks for coming in, let's help you get there.
Yep, and it's $500 is what the permit is. That's what they're asking. What is the permit going to cost? And if it's $500, it's $500. If it's $400, it's $400. It's whatever.
Yeah.
I think
I
know
where you're
going
for a living
with
the
tiered
for 11
system
years,
and all this,
so.
You know, all these charts and flow charts and stuff, and it gets very, very confusing because then they go to that. If it's $500, it's $500, and he incorporates everything. Done
yeah.
deal.
I guess but from I my standpoint is I had 120 people I supervised. I did home visits every month based on different things, and I had to work out, all right, how do I get the most time efficiency? How do I get the most mileage efficiency? Mm-hmm. When I had people all over the county at various times, and so I broke down things by geographic area, and one day I'm going here, one day I'm going there, and I would, you know, do things in a sequential order,
and I
did home inspections, I did searches, I did everything else, and so I understand the concept of, but it's not going to be a straight 45 minutes one way and 45 minutes back for every single home. And the same as we're asking for consideration for the mileage or the opt-out fee, it's not 36 per home.
What if we did it, and I'll do this because we did this when we were looking and exploring flat rate in my business, and we had zones. And you took a map and a protractor, and you zoned it out. And if you lived out in O'Brien, it was $50 just to drive to O'Brien.
Yeah.
And it was $40 if you're in Selma. It was $30 if you're in Waterville, and $25 within the city limits. And that's what just a flat rate fee. That was just covered your travel and the mileage, the per van and whatever. But however, you can, during a day where you would make money, it's just exactly like you said, let's couple five calls in O'Brien, and each one of them pays $50 or whatever that price is for that zone. Each one of them pays that, and guess what? We're all set to go. But however, then you got the next day, you've got the lady says, oh, by the way, this thing quit last night. Now you've got to go back out there and do it again. And you're only going out there for that one deal. So you got to pick a number that just kind of encompasses everybody. And then you're going to get the guy, well, you know what? You go all the way to O'Brien, but you're charging me the same amount in Selma. I see where you're going with it. But I don't know if that's something.
And I also looked at a sliding scale, like what happens if you have to go back to that property? So
right.
Maybe it's a base rate, and then every time you go back, you're charging X amount. You could do that, which is very fair, but that would, I do not think the public would accept.
Because they said you're going to be looking for something to come back and making money out of it.
Yep.
We're not supposed to be making money at this.
No, we're supposed to be covering our expenses, and that's why I sat down and said, okay, basic costs, not factoring in a car, not factoring in my time, what is it going to take? And it was $412.50
well,
on an average.
Well, that's what I was saying. If $450 is the cost, then don't raise it to $500. But if it's encompassing that we have to pay for a car, you have to pay for something else on top of it.
And the $45 was the time. It wasn't the actual car mileage or mileage rate.
You were looking at the time of the
inspectors to be there.
And that's where I came up with $412.50, not including gas, car, computer expenses. That was just the time involved for two people.
Well, the county already does, through general fund, supplement the planning program. And the fees are supposed to cover the cost of providing the service, but not more. I mean, it's not meant to be making a profit or to give us additional funding above and beyond the cost of providing the service. So in lieu of a sliding scale or trying to, zone the various counties, who say maybe at the 400 level, we come in slightly under, would show that we're not charging more than the cost, or $450, something of that nature.
Here's another thing, and going back to the very beginning of this meeting with the $25,000, I say don't make it an even $500. I think make it look like you thought about it and actually have a number. If it's $436 or $437 or something.
$420, $415,
put a number on the end of it, not $420, because then you're just rounding up.
We don't want $420.
What's that?
We don't
great.
Want 420.
Why not?
Is that something
that
like
would be
elephants?
Funny.
What's
sorry.
420?
420 is the National Smokeout Day where everybody gets high at 420 on 420.
Oh,
well, and it goes
see.
Back to the 70s where you can get four joints for $20.
Okay, well, so we make it 428 or something of that sort. Make it look like we thought about it, okay?
Nothing with 4.2 in it.
Four whatever you give it. But you get my picture. I don't think it should be, Commissioner Morgan, immediately on the $25,000. That's what piqued her interest in that particular number. Is it $25,000 sounds like it was just an arbitrary number and not thought out.
Yeah, so if you... So like I said, it's $412.50 without my cost included in there and without a gas or... Gas.
So
or
add another $10 for your time and your gas.
So I don't know if you want to do 420 like Commissioner Harris said, that would be
insane.
If that's something that the community needs to stay away from, I'm okay with that. I didn't understand it. It's like elephants. We didn't understand the elephants thing, but that's fine. But I think let's just go ahead and make it some. You come up with a number, but I would avoid 500 and I would avoid 450 or 470. I think it needs to have a number.
So in our office, we charge a professional rate of $55 an hour. So let's just say I'm having an hour on there that's $467.50. That doesn't include a car or anything, so $450. I want to make sure we're covering it, especially since we just agreed to giving people 50% discounts on permits. I do not feel we're covering our time. I know the board has said that's okay, we're going to supplement you guys.
And when we come back for a fee change in a year, you'll have documentation to say that didn't work.
What does it actually cost?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Right now you don't know what it is, but you'll document it.
Is that a little hypocritical because of our position with specific power?
Well, I'd rather go under the cost than over.
Absolutely.
Right. So $447.50 would fit better than $450 to me.
Falling, but I just heard that.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm fine with $450. It is.
I don't like $450, but that's fine. Right. You do whatever you want.
Well, are any of our other fees?
So when you most of them. I mean, our fees are all over the board, but you know.
I know.
Okay, so some of them are $6,500. Some of them are $2,000. I picked the, in comparison, I was looking at the home occupation because I was thinking business license type thing. And like I said, that went $375 up to $2,000.
Okay.
Yes.
So the nearest five.
Please. Whatever you want to do.
He just sent it out.
Yeah. Okay. Well, very good. So what we'll do is, unless the board...
Oh, this is a challenging procedure.
What we'll do is that we will add this...
I do, but that's what we're on right now.
I'm sorry.
I can fix that tomorrow. I can't fix what just happened right now, apparently. So maybe I shouldn't be talking about it if I can't fix it. Good point.
I don't even know what it is, so let's get this out.
We'll send this we'll give this to Wendy to add to the fee change packet and with notifying the board and what the final number is with your...
That was a question that came up yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot. Yes. More than one time.
So what is the fee going to be recommended?
Well, you were looking at the...
Somewhere in the 450 range.
I was saying 445 is what you added when you added the...
445?
Yeah. Yeah.
We got to get on the same page.
I just emailed him and asked him why did it go out before our approval.
Okay. Thank you.
Sound
anything
right?
else, Arthur?
No, it would just be updates on just various and sundry little projects, but nothing definitive at this point.
I do have a question. Where are we at with the Food and Friends? So we were supposed to reach out. We got an email about logs were available if we had a mill. We were or get donations from local businesses for the portico. Are you running? You were going to run point on that.
I was going to go talk to Fields about it, and also there was the logs and the mill stuff. That's Simon's wheelhouse.
Logs are there.
Yeah, I think there's been several deliveries to the fairgrounds at this point.
No, I'm just talking Food and Friends.
They offered logs for the portico. Yes, that was Siskiyou.
Yeah, this is different than
this one. Siskiyou Construction said that they would do that. But
I think give us the log. We had to find a place to have a mill in exchange for the logs. Mill the lumber for exchange for the log. And I don't know any mills.
You're talking to Ron.
Ron Fields.
Okay, I'll talk to Ron Fields.
And tell him it's separate than what I'm dealing with.
Right, it is. Absolutely.
He'll be like, what are you talking about? I'm talking to Simon about logging or milling. And it's like, this is a different deal.
No, this is a whole different deal. Okay. Now, what is important? It just came across the wire.
We we got an email
we're
from...
We're finding the process of our PIO person sending out press releases. It's just, he needs to check a box.
At 10:03, he sent us an email of a...
Who did?
Jason Roberts sent an email to us at 10:03 asking us to review the latest draft of a press release. We're in this meeting at 10:03, and at 10:56, he sent it out to the press.
No, wrong one.
Oh, that's CASA. This one's the other one. Okay.
I've reviewed the other one, and I've got that one refined.
So CASA just went out.
Probably not the end of the world.
And the other one was the Consumer Choice one that was asking for review. My bad that I saw those different ones.
I didn't finish reading the CASA one, so I printed it out.
Okay, so what we want to do is talk to the PIO and have a definite, this is your procedure.
Yes.
Correct.
I think that would be a good idea.
I think I mentioned this already. I'm sure I did. I'm like this with everything. There isn't anything that should ever go out under the board's heading without checking a box. I don't like that.
Then that's what we need to notify him about that, so that he knows what the ground rules are and what the board wants. He's brand new.
Yeah.
So as these things pop up, this is what we do. And I agree wholeheartedly with you. Exactly. Okay?
So much harder to change.
Anything else?
If I have questions on something, I'm good.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Okay.
We made it through the agenda then, unless there's other matters from commissioners.
Yep, and this afternoon we have Veteran Services. Do we?
She just did it.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Can I finish?
Okay.
We just did that. So what do you think about the 2 p.m. general discussion? It's noticed?
I think we're good.
But there's nothing on the agenda after veterans did their stuff.
Wendy already crossed it out on the agenda on the board.
Okay, I'm not at the board. I'm not
privy
to the board. You're looking that way, I'm not. Look to Simon and talk to Simon. I can't read your lips like you didn't say anything.
Okay.
So
I had an interesting thought the other day. I'm driving out to the valley, and there's this old semi-tractor trailer, and it says O-N, not and, C. And I thought, you know what we don't do is highlight, like, how are people supposed to know about the positive element of O-N-C? There's no banner anywhere.
No.
I've seen a couple signs in Douglas County.
They don't even know what ONC means.
They don't.
They don't know the history of ONC. They don't know anything.
They don't.
ONC was Oregon, Northern California something.
Oregon and California Railroad plans.
Right.
Yeah. What would be interesting is if we just
COPCO.
Had,
do you know what COPCO is?
Yeah.
California Oregon Power Cooperative.
Oh.
COPCO. COPCO Dam.
Yeah.
COPCO Poles. Yeah. Go ahead.
That was all...
history.
That started in 1937 as well.
Mm-hmm.
Congress
was
really busy then with the Rural Electrification Act, REA. And that's what established electric cooperatives to bring power to the people.
Yeah.
So,
but you're right. I think.
Well, what I thought is, like, what if we just had two billboards in Josephine County that had ONC and kind of maybe just a short list of did you know
what it means?
These things. Or I don't know something.
What it does?
Quick and
what you know? What did ONC funds do?
And then I got to thinking, people love these pictures out here, but they're like a postage stamp. They're very small. When you go to Douglas County's courthouse, they really, you know, big old trees. But it could be interesting if we were to kind of. I would be supportive of some sort of a program that would just here's some money. And like we do upstairs with that big print, somehow illustrate the connection between, you know, the harvest of
timber.
Local timber that built all of our libraries, built the YMCA, paid for the building.
History.
You know, the Cave Junction
puts
building in Cave Junction and all of this
People
stuff.
Love looking at old pieces of Grants Pass.
Yeah, we get old picture from the Historical Society. Somebody's got to do this, though. I mean, I'm happy to say that, hey, we should do this. This is every day that we're for. Last October 18th, 2017, was 80 years of the ONC Act. I recognized it at a weekly business session, but...
And it just went on by.
It just went on by. 80 years of a
part of the progressive group.
I don't know if the board would be interested in saying, "Hey, let's look at what kind of a proposal we could do for, you know, a couple thousand dollars. We print out some really nice photos over time and have a
like a mural style, but not a mural, but the lineage of history of timber in Josephine County. I don't know.
One of the things.
Just wonder where they go. I mean, because one of the things about our building too is this marble. And so how much more do we cover it up or put holes in it?
Oh, no, I would not. I mean, we could probably, there's a wall downstairs, I'm sure.
Okay.
That where we could, you know, depict something.
We also have a lot of minerals.
When you get off the airplane, and you're walking down that thing, welcome to timber country.
Yeah.
And this is what it did. Mm. You know, something like that that would change. Just like, what's the program that Soretti has there?
Oh, yeah, they're...
what do they call that?
Highlighting and...
Yeah, highlighting the businesses. And there's a deal there for Death Southern Brothers Ranch one day, and then there's a deal for Wiley Boats another. And it's just say, welcome, you know, you're welcoming here. Your people are getting off in Timber. But welcome to the Pacific Northwest.
And then show
pictures of trees and forestry and so on and so forth.
Doing a...
steer it more towards forestry rather
like
than...
Like a steel sculpture on the Justice Building over there. It's just a long brick building. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a pretty facade, but it's kind of plain. And I thought we could, you know, illustrate elements of the timber industry by putting a flywheel and some gears and maybe a big saw blade and, you know, kind of the transition to something.
Yeah. We just need to bring, I think, the focus back to a forgotten industry.
For that? It's kind of like the project that I started when I first took office was having a picture of every commissioner that served. When you go to Klamath and their meeting, There's a whole section of their wall that's, you know, the lineage of the leadership of their county, and we don't have it anywhere. We will before I leave office. There will be those pictures on the wall in there. It's just a good thing to do. Mm-hmm. But if we keep kicking the can, nobody will.
You walk down the halls in the veterans thing over here. They have the kids drew pictures of every president, and they have, you know, it's school kids. Mm-hmm. Drew a picture. It's funny because they'll have a sideways view and the both eyes and the glasses will be
right,
on.
Right, right.
It's really like really elementary, but it's cute. Yeah. So.
I like the idea. You'd mentioned the art on the side of the building before. My only thought is I think that there's a potential of that being majorly renovated after the city police move out. So I'd want to wait until it can maybe be a part of what that front looks like.
Structurally, I've asked Ryan if we can cut windows because that's a big, you know.
But all the seismic stuff that may need to be done, as far as the entrance for single point security might have to be looked at, the elevator, and so if there's going to be some stuff of amending the front of that building, that may be the opportunity as that's done to design in. Let's also acknowledge.
Incorporate.
And so that it's not done and then has to be changed, but do it as part of it, so then it's...
Yeah, I would bet structurally how we facet it, it would have to tie into the, you know, stud elements of things. It's just, you know, we can talk about it, but we have to kind of... Jason, you do it, or the Fords, you do it.
Well,
something like that.
it's one of those things that we're talking about doing a strategic plan or goal setting in the beginning. This may be one of those elements that we're talking about as far as...
A priority.
Promotion of county history, promotion of industry. It's one of the things that was an element that was voted on at the CEDC on Monday was highlighting industries or focusing on industries to train again. They were talking about getting a mining program back in the schools or teaching timber industry back in the schools. So
we don't make references to the things that got us here. They're going to go away forever.
And
we will be stuck with marijuana.
And it's our responsibility as leaders of the community to codify those ideas.
Exactly.
In the past.
We need to point the direction that needs to go.
I just wanted to bring that up.
Okay. Anything else?
No, and I think that we got to follow up with it. I like where you're thinking on it. I just want to make sure that it actually gets into something so we follow up and get it done.
Yeah, and you want to get it right.
Okay.
You know, if we don't do things like this, it's the city's art program that comes to us. We say, well, I guess you can put that sculpture next to the ambassador.
We won't have a voice.
You know what I mean? No, we have an idea for that. We're going to put off.
Yeah. You know, we're along this theme. This is the theme we're looking towards. Can you supply us with something like that? Okay.
Okay.
Anything else? Commissioner Morgan?
We're good.
Okay. We are adjourned at 11:09.
Thank you.